Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
Well, today is the final message that Pastor Dreyer and I have been preaching on the Good Shepherd from the 10th chapter of John. And each week we've been taking a certain section and talking about how that applies to our life and how the shepherding work of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, meets us right at the point of our greatest need. And today, I want to talk about that place in our life where insecurity lurks. And that insecurity is looking to envelop us and separate us from the security that we have in our Good Shepherd. And so we're going to take a little journey with Jesus from the place of insecurity out to that place of security where we can be forever in the grip of His grace. So let's pray. Lord, these moments ahead of us, we dedicate to you. And Lord, we want this to be a space in which you speak to us, in which you touch our hearts, in which you give to us just an overabundance, a flowing out of your love in our lives and a sense of security. Lord, because we so often look in all the wrong places for security. And I thank you, Lord, that you are the one that can dependably be secure for everything and every situation in our life. For we pray this in your most holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, okay, what kind of a time do we live in? We think about a pandemic. Well, there's another pandemic I want to be talking about, and that is we live in a time of a pandemic insecurity. A time that ranges all the way from, okay, let's describe this insecurity. It's the first day of a middle school girl in a brand new school, and she is walking into the cafeteria. Oh, does she feel secure? Does she feel really confident as she goes? The questions are, hey, what are all the unwritten rules in this new school? I don't know anybody. What if I sit in the wrong place? What if I go to the wrong table? What if I make myself a social leper by sitting in the wrong place? Or what if I get rejected if I sit in the wrong place? So it's a really difficult kind of a thing. Now, that's on one end. Now, we're going to go all the way to the other end, to the extreme, and not what is going on right now in Afghanistan, Kabul. People feeling immensely and correctly insecure because they don't know if they are going to be safe. They don't know if they're going to be able to escape. And if they manage to get to the airport, will the plane still be running? And will anything still be able to get them out after the 31st of August? It's a time of real insecurity. And as a matter of fact, Thursday, we sent out an urgent message, request for prayer for the people that are in Afghanistan and need actually divine intervention. And Don, thank you for leading us in prayer for that today, because it is a critically important thing. Mark it down, spend some time, even prayer and fasting for people that are stuck in there. Now, somewhere between the middle school girl and the people in Afghanistan, we find ourselves in our own insecurities. And if we're honest with ourselves, we know that we all have certain spaces of insecurity in our lives. Now, in the morning, and I get up, and I turn on the radio, and I look in the mirror, and I take my shaving utensils and stuff. The radio now is giving us the news, and I'm listening. Do I feel more secure when I'm listening to the news, like mudslides in Turkey, earthquake in Haiti? Oh, the hospital's just being overwhelmed with COVID cases. Oklahoma being, you know, like in the top 10 of let's say the numbers per capita of cases. Taliban having control of Afghanistan. There's a storm that's moving toward our shores, threatening to engulf and to do a lot of destruction. Getting a message from somebody in the church says, I have two friends out where the wildfires are going. Their houses are right in the path of where it's coming. Another one where a lady who's been a friend for a long time, cancer in the throat, and wanting to get another opinion from another surgeon. Will she have to have her larynx removed and then be able to have to talk or communicate mechanically? These kinds of issues and the insecurity that just seems to run all around us. And you think about the reports of the numbers of people just here in our own state that have food, it's referred to as food insecurity. There's a physical, there's an emotional, even a spiritual kind of insecurity. Well, let's talk a little bit about emotional insecurity and what that is. One psychologist has put it together as involving three major areas of insecurity emotionally. The first would be based on recent failures. And he pointed out that research shows that up to 40% of our happiness quotient, if you can quantify it, is based on recent events. And it can be things like traumas in health, divorce, rejection, loss of a job, bankruptcy, being the victim of violence. Wow, you can see that could lead to a lot of insecurity. What about social anxiety, which leads to insecurity? And our social media don't make it even a little more difficult. And sometimes that comes from having had overly critical parents or possibly having been bullied in childhood at some point. Social anxiety. A third one is something we put upon ourselves, and that would be perfectionism. Having impossibly high expectations of the things that we are up to, things that we're supposed to be doing. And not only can it lead to a sense of insecurity, but also depression, anxiety, eating disorders, and having less energy and motivation. Wow, we do live in a sin-filled world that affects everything. As a matter of fact, affects us on a very much of an everyday basis. And it's not just everybody else's sin coming at us. We become very willing participants in this as well, as we will further see as we go along. So the shepherd, however, our good shepherd, has an answer to our anxieties, to our insecurities. He's going to be taking care of it. And the first thing we're going to be looking at is the voice of the shepherd. Well, we get that from John 10, which we just read together a little bit ago. And it goes this way, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." You see the three parts there, the voice, I know them, they follow me. This is the antidote to and the answer to our insecurities. Now, it means that the good shepherd is not silent. He talks, he communicates, he reveals. That's his voice. Now, think of yourself, feeling alone, insecure, lost, confused, not knowing what's going to happen next, not knowing what to do next. Running out of that false bravado that's, oh, no problem, everything's fine, I'm doing just okay, when we're just about on the edge of a breakdown. Well, in times like that, a voice comes out of that darkness. It's the voice of a shepherd who says, when he finds his lost and trembling little lamb, he says, "I am here." The words of Jesus, the voice of Jesus, powerful words. He said, "My words are spirit and they are life." He says, "And if you abide in me and I in you," relationship, "then ask whatever it is that you want and I will do it for you." Security. "I am with you always," Jesus said, kind of parting comments with his disciples. The Bible says of God, "Call upon me in the day of trouble." All of it says that God is saying to us, "I've got this under control. Just trust me. I've got your back." Now, he knows us. It says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." He knows us. Our problems are not a mystery to him. Our problems are not a surprise to him. He never will say, when we run into difficulty, "Wow, I didn't see that one coming." Troubles, yeah. He's been there. Wherever the trouble is, wherever the trouble has been, he has been there, and he cuts all the troubles, all the problems down to size. And we all need to hear that comforting voice with an encouraging message that assures us no matter how bad it is, all is well. That's what our good shepherd assures us. He makes us secure. Now, when the shepherd speaks, the sheep need to listen. You know, there's a difference between hearing and listening. When it says, my sheep hear my voice, it isn't just mainly catching the sound waves. It is listening with attention, with concentration, with intention, not only to hear, but to take in and then to follow what that voice gives to us. Now, I was complaining to my wife, I've got some hearing difficulties. And she says, no, you don't have a hearing problem, you got a listening problem. And I think that's the difficulty with us at times. It's that listening. Now, when he speaks, when the shepherd speaks, the sheep are to listen. Back in 1901, the year, something hit the market. It was the gramophone, and with that gramophone, there was those discs that you'd put the needle down on the disc, and there was that big speaker horn, and there was a British label called His Master's Voice. They had a logo. The logo showed that gramophone with the big speaker horn, and then there was Nipper, a little terrier dog, whose ear was cocked right at where the sound was coming, and it was called His Master's Voice. Our master has a voice, but he wants us, we're the nippers, he wants us to be listening, to paying that close attention, and that we love to hear the voice of our master, our shepherd. So Jesus is the master, he's the shepherd. What's the message? What's the voice? Jesus is the message, and in that message, he gives to us things like guidance and direction. You know, in every great Bible story, there is the voice of God that gives direction. For example, to Noah, hey, Noah, go and build an ark. There's a flood that's coming, so get it ready. God spoke repeatedly to Moses, starting in the burning bush. Moses, Moses, go and set my people free. And then repeatedly throughout his career, you know, through the whole time of the Passover, the plagues, the Exodus, parting the Red Sea, going down to to Mount Sinai, and then all the way up toward the Jordan River, finally, the voice of God giving direction. God giving direction, the voice to Joseph, and says, hey, take the mother and the child, Jesus, and go to Egypt. To the Apostle Paul, as when he was that unbeliever, the persecutor, the voice said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And then the voice said, you are going to be my witness. You're going to suffer many things on account of my name. You're going to bring my message to kings and emperors. Whoa. So, the voice that gives counsel in Psalm 16, in the seventh verse, says, I will praise the Lord who, here's the word, counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. So keeping yourself open, willing, listening, having the word of the Lord open before you continually, memorizing so you don't have to have the book in hand, just set the scriptures, the word of the Lord will find a place to be in your heart and to stay there. So we need to learn to listen to the directions of our good shepherd as a way of life. What about in our times of difficulty, our sorrows and our losses? We need to hear a voice of comfort. He is the God of all comfort. In the midst of all the noises of the world, the false claims, the false promises, the false prophets, all that falseness, we need to hear a true message, a true voice. And last week, as Pastor Dreyer was preaching, he talked about the voice of truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. So when Jesus speaks, his words are true. You can depend. You can lay your life on those. So we need to remember that in the time of uncertainty. You need to know that and to know that he is still in charge no matter what's going on in the world. We need to hear that voice, the one voice and the only voice that can offer us direction, healing, ongoing help in our lives. But not only do we need to know that we can hear his voice, we need to know that he hears our voice too. The little lambs that are hurt, that are lost, that are confused, don't know what's going on and where to go, what to do, and everything kind of coming down. The bleating of the little lamb, he hears that voice. Yeah, we can be confused and wandering, wanting direction, and then he will take us and he'll place us back on the path. Is there any greater security than in knowing he hears our voice as well? He knows us by name. So when we listen, something's going to come after that, and that is listening will lead to something. It leads to following. Now, somehow, the importance of this back in the year 2017 was caught when a number of leaders at a Blaze church sat down, way too many meetings, but discussed what should be the mission statement and the vision statement of a Blaze church. Now, you think about the mission statement, which goes, love God, love others. What's the third component? Follow Jesus. Oh, and then what about the vision statement, leading people to become fully devoted followers? Now, following, you know, the words follow me were words of such clarity, such importance, and such power that those are the very words that Jesus used when he called candidates for apostleship, which at the same time made them candidates for martyrdom as well. Follow me. It's all about following him, fully devoted followers of Jesus. And you cannot claim to be a believer if you are not a follower of Jesus Christ. These two things go together. And no one can who tries to be a follower, you can't be a follower without being a believer. So how does that come about? Well, you listen to the shepherd's voice. Where does faith come from? Paul writes to the Romans, faith comes by hearing. Oh, hearing the voice of the shepherd. So faith comes by hearing. Now, if it says we are saved by grace through faith. Hearing brings faith. Faith brings salvation. We listen. We then follow. Those saved by that grace then follow. And because we are invited in that following, it's not something like, oh boy, now I'm really in trouble. I got to follow Jesus, and that's going to be really tough, and I'm not going to like it. No, it is a matter of living in a joyous, spontaneous, exuberant fellowship, communion with him, with our Lord and Savior, knowing that we are absolutely secure in his hand, secure in his grip, enfolded on every side. His hand is upon us for every good, and in his hand he will draw us into his purposes. And that is the abundant life, which is the life that the good shepherd gives to his sheep. So what's the outcome of all of that? The outcome of all of that for the believer is where Jesus says, I give them eternal life. So eternal life is the shepherd's gift. Well, let's go back to that verse in verse 28 of John 10, where Jesus says, I give them eternal life. And what will happen? They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. So what is eternal life? It is having Jesus in your life, and what corresponds to that is having your life in Jesus. It's a vine and the branches kind of relationship. It is a life that is eternal. Eternal life means that it's never going to end, but it doesn't wait to start until you die and go to heaven. It begins in the present when Jesus Christ enters your life. You see, faith comes by hearing. You hear the good news about Jesus Christ. He died for my sins. He rose again. He loves me. He's got a great plan for my life. My faith then takes hold of that reality. And then everything that is in Jesus Christ gets to be in me. all his holiness, all his righteousness, his relationship with the Heavenly Father, his authority over all the powers of evil and darkness. He says, that's yours now. You see, we are buried with Christ by baptism into death, that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. We are crucified, buried, raised to life and living in and with him. And it begins now. Though physical death is going to be happening in every one of our lives, you know what? You're going to live through it. It's not that scary. You're going to live through it because Jesus said, you will never perish. He says, you're secure in my hands. And Jesus once said, in fact, one chapter later, in John chapter 11, at the graveside of Lazarus, he who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Oh yeah, you're going to pass through that physical thing, but that's your doorway into eternity, to being with him forever. I give them eternal life. Oh, that word give. You see, it's a gift. That's the shepherd's gift. It isn't a matter of earning it. It isn't a matter of, oh, I did all this good stuff. Now, I served Jesus. I even served on a committee once. That means I deserve to get to heaven. No, not at all. You know, there are a lot of people who are not sure about it. If you ask the question, what would you say? Or are you certain that if you died today that you would go to heaven? There are a lot of people walking around with insecurity on that issue. Even people that sit in pews in churches or chairs in churches or online, okay, not secure as to what is going to happen when they die. Now, the shepherd says, I give them eternal life. You see, it's a gift. It's not an earning. In fact, all the earnings of Jesus have been turned over to you. Maybe some of you, when you got your first job, in order to teach you how to be a good manager of things, your parents insisted that you had to turn your earnings over to them, and then they would give you an allowance, you know, and then put the rest in your college fund or something like that, or your car fund, yeah. Now, but it's like Jesus said, I'm going to take all my earnings, and I'm giving them over to you. Okay, so what do I get? I get, he earned me forgiveness. I've got forgiveness. He earned me an eternity in heaven. Hey, that's mine now, isn't it? Because he's turned that all over to me. And he says, and don't worry, I'm going to hold you secure in my grip. So there's a dad and a son who are out in the woods, they're on a walk, exploring, and then they come to this rickety old bridge. Okay, I got that picture here, the rickety bridge. Well, you wouldn't want even for your dog to walk across it because the dog, you know, would fall down. And so how are we going to get across? Well, there is a 2x4 that someone had put to cross that ravine. It's got water running in it in the creek there. So the dad says, okay, son, take my hand. And then together they walk across. He's got his hand and... You know, and the kid's a little bit shaky. You know, am I going to fall off of here? And so they get across safely. And the boy says, wow, glad, Dad. I'm glad I held your hand so you wouldn't fall. But it's actually the grip of the dad is the one that mattered. His grip is so much stronger than the grip of the kid. You say, okay, I'm hanging on to Jesus with all my might. That's nice. That's good. But he's hanging on to you with all his might. And it says, how strong is that? It said, no one can snatch them out of my hand. Yeah. No, I could probably, you know, Dad, don't. No, I can do it all on my own. And then try it on your own. Is it going to work? You know, when you've tried it on your own, how'd that work out for you? Yeah, a bit tragic, huh? Okay, so it's a matter of, he says, no one can snatch them out of my hand. The security lies not in us. The security lies in him. Now, everybody's looking for security in life. They talk about your investments. Will they be secure? Will they be secure? Well, I don't. No one can guarantee that those things are going to be secure. But I can tell you one thing that's secure, and that is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And to let him hang on to you, that's the main thing. That's what faith really is. It isn't how hard am I holding on to him and grasping him, but am I letting his firm grasp hang on to me? People look for that security, though, in all the wrong places. And it can be, at best, provisional, conditional, temporary. And that world that looks like it is so smart and acts so smart really doesn't know much at all. Certainly does not know the future, but we know somebody who knows the future, and that is God. In fact, Jesus has been into the future already. And he's cleaned it up for every one of us so that with security and with confidence, we can move on forward. There is only one secure, permanently secure place, and that is in Jesus, and we run to him. It says, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. A relationship based on the sheep hearing the voice of the shepherd. Authentic security, and he stands now ready to receive us into the glory of his splendor. I'm just going to conclude with these words from the chapter, the one chapter, only chapter that there is in the book of Jude. And you'll probably learn more about that in Walk Through the New Testament. And it says this, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. By the way, whose joy is that going to be? Well, sure, it's our joy, but it's the angel's joy. It's God's joy as well. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be, now get this doxology, glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. And everybody joined in the final word as we say, amen. Amen.